Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life as a dry millennial. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Oh, man. I'm good. I've been sober for 478 days, so that's something.
That's amazing. Are you tired?
I'm so tired. I don't know anything about the new moon in Libra, but I think it has something to do with that.
Oh, I have been sober for 562 days. This is Kaylee, by the way. I keep forgetting that people can't sometimes, they don't know which one of us is talking.
Learn our voices. Come on. We've got 24 episodes here.
Yeah.
23?
Yeah. 24. This is our 24th episode, and I'm feeling good. I've been sober for 562 days, but this weather's been shitty. It's been raining all week, which is totally normal for this time of year, but I'm just getting that seasonal effectiveness disorder, seasonal affective disorder, SAD. Sad.
Something that means sad. It makes you sad.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of that. So I'm just trying to like take my vitamin D, and I got my sunset lamp going on today.
Speaking of lamps, my ring light just turned off. So I'm sitting in the dark.
You do look like you're... Katie always looks like she's doing a podcast from a haunted house. but I don't know. I have a skull and dead flowers behind me, so I'm not really... one to talk. It's a vibe.
Yeah, so the weather's been shitty here in the Pacific Northwest. I do think it's been colder than it normally has been, and so I think for me, I'm like, I can handle the cold weather, that's not a problem, but I need some sunshine to go with it, and I just feel it's been sideways rain and it's been gray for too long.
Yeah, it's been rough out there.
Yeah. So Kaylee, what are we talking about this week?
Oh my God. We are talking about the Enneagram. Enneagram. I should have probably checked to see if I was pronouncing it correctly before we started, but that's what we're talking about today. It's something that you can use as a tool in learning more about yourself and understanding your needs and your opportunities for growth. So if you're working on being the best version of yourself, it's something you may have already heard of, or you may have heard of other like personality type quizzes, but this one is just, it's just a lot more detailed, and it's something that Katie and I have both found helpful. So
yeah, so it's like we would consider it a typology, I think is what they call it. So it's like a personality typology. But I'll give you guys the little rundown as far as like what one considers the actual definition of the Enneagram. So the Enneagram is an emotionally focused system of understanding people, honing in on one's core emotional motivations and fears. Each of the 9 personality types has its own driving force, which is centered around a particular emotion. So before we get into this, for anyone who's never heard of the Enneagram, Google it right now while you're listening to this episode, or look it up on Instagram. There are so many good pages. And for those of you who have, please tell us what your type is. We would love to know.
Yeah, definitely. I would be curious just to hear from other people and their personal experiences with these numbers, or I know they also have a lot of relationship things that you can check out. So, you know, if your partner does it, you can kind of figure out how you can work and communicate together, which is cool. So yeah, let's just kind of explain like what the numbers are, and like the, we'll give a high level overview for folks.
Okay. Yeah, there are 9 types, as we've stated. Type 1 is the reformer. Type 2 is the helper. Type 3 is the achiever. Type 4 is the individualist. Type 5 is the investigator. Type 6 is the loyalist. Type 7 is the enthusiast. Type 8 is the challenger. And type 9 is the peacemaker. Something that I love about the Enneagram, so for any of you who are like rolling your eyes, like, oh, great, another personality test. A lot of people ask that you not take a test to find out your Enneagram type, that you just read the types and decide which one you most resonate with. That's how they type you. And I really like that advice. I think it takes away some of the added pressure of like having to, you know, answer a bunch of questions correctly or overanalyze things about yourself. And Kaylee, I know that you had some experience with that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. I was going to say too, I was reading that it's really based on your core motivations and not necessarily your current actions. So I don't know. It was hard for me because I think sometimes with personality questions, it's like, well, I want to be this way, or this sounds like the best, yeah, the quote unquote, like best answer, but there's no like Hufflepuff of the Enneagram. And I say that as like a now proud Hufflepuff, but there's no like bad number. They all have like strengths and weaknesses and things like that. But I had an interesting, so I took the quiz and the paid quiz from the Enneagram Institute and got exactly equal scores of 2 and 6. And I have been reading stuff with, you know, Instagram handles or information about 2s and information about 6s. And like the high level overview of the helper definitely resonated a lot more to me than the loyalist. But once I started to dig in a little bit more, I found that most folks who are like socialized as women are socialized and like raised to have qualities that a 2 has. So like the helper, the caregiver, putting others' needs above yourself. Like that's
like more of a conditioning.
Right. Yeah. More of like a social conditioning. And the more I started to learn about the 6s, the more I kind of have started to resonate with that, especially knowing that 2s can kind of be a false positive for a lot of people. So I have decided to go with a 6, even though I got equal scores. And then for your wings, you can be either like the number before the number after. And so I could either be like a 6 wing 5 or I could be a 6 wing 7. And I identify a lot with the 6 wing 7, which is the buddy is what it's called, instead of the loyalist or the helper, which kind of seems like a combination of the 2. So
it does.
And love that.
Yeah. Before you get into that, because I want to hear about like everything about your Enneagram type. I think we all do. But I will just give like an overview of the wing really quickly that we Googled.
Yes, thank you.
So yeah. Also, disclaimer, we're like not psychologists. Once again, we're having this conversation. But
yeah, we're not certified. I think all of our information we found was for the most part for free and online.
Yes.
But we're putting it in a nice little bow, hopefully, and providing that information to you. So
yeah. So each number has 2 wings, and each person is a unique mixture of their single type, so the 1 through the 9, plus the number adjacent to either side of their wing. So Kaylee is a type 6, so she can either be a type 6 with a 5 wing or a type 6 with a 7 wing. And it sounds like hers is a type 6 with a 7 wing.
Yeah. And my test didn't tell me what my wing was. I think especially because I had like equal scores in 2. So I decided that for myself just based on what resonated the most with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this topic can come with a little bit of a disclaimer. So, you know, I think that we all want to understand ourselves and why we are the way that we are, because it just helps with growth and it feels good to be seen. It feels good to see stuff on paper and be like, I identify with that. Like, okay, like that's not just me. There's probably like a million 6s out there who do, you know, similar things or struggle with similar things. But it really is a tool. It's not going to be 100% accurate all of the time. And also, I think that sometimes it's really easy to throw a diagnosis or a personality trait or something like that and use it to excuse shitty behavior. And I'm here to say, like, you can't just learn that you're a 3, say that you're a 3 and be like, oh, well, I'm, you know, a huge flake because I'm a 3 and that's just like who I am.
Achiever. So I'm just like, yeah. Yeah.
And you can. And you can totally do that. And I'm sure that I've done it. And that's why it like gives me some sort of negative reaction. But it should be a tool to help, you know, improve improve your situation and improve your life. But yeah. if it can be something that holds you back or makes you feel bad or makes you feel any sort of shame or anything like that.
I think that's why I'm drawn to the Enneagram so much, is because like there isn't a lot of, there's like not one Enneagram is the bad Enneagram, you know, like as a Scorpio, I feel like I get a really shitty rap. Like as a type 7, I don't feel like I'm persecuted because of my personality type. And for everyone listening, stop saying bad things about Scorpios. We're not bad. It's just, you know, we're intense and a lot to handle.
My partner's a Scorpio.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Danny B.
Interesting. Okay, anyways. So with all that being said, Kaylee, get into it. Tell us a little bit more about your type.
Yeah, okay. So six, and then I have some kind of more specific information on six wing seven. But yeah, it's called the Buddy, which is super cute. And that really resonates with me because I just want everyone to be my friend and hardworking, personable, but with a major self-doubt issue. Okay, like, hi, desire to feel safe and supported and seeking affirmation and support. And then I even was looking at one site that specifically called out as a trauma response or like survival tactic using self-deprecating humor. Yeah, just ringing a bell. And then something that I've struggled with and have never heard this put on paper before was I have a really hard time trusting myself and trusting like my own judgment. And I feel like I can't tell, like, am I really upset about this? Do I just not want to be upset because I don't want to have negative feelings? So I'm just trying to push it back. Like I can never, I feel like I never really get a gut instinct. I don't know what that feels like.
I want to interject because we learned both of our types lead with our head, which means we're analytical. Mm-hmm. So like trusting that gut and that intuition is a little bit more difficult when you're always, you know what I mean? So that makes sense to me that you're like that. I feel very much the same.
Yeah. And then projection, like projecting onto to other people. So thinking because I feel anxious or because I feel this way about myself that everyone else does. And it's really hard for me to break that narrative and kind of like step outside of myself and think that other people could have any sort of other view of me other than the one that I have of myself. So yeah, it's just, it's nice because then I can be like, okay, so what does this mean? Like, how do I fix this? And someone who's a type six is really into security and reassurance and looks for like mentors for guidance and answers. Which is just like, yes, if I had a shit ton of money, I would have like a personal trainer. I would have a nutritionist. I'd have a finance manager. I want like every expert in their specific field to tell me what to do so that I don't feel like I'm doing something wrong or getting far behind, or like I really do feel like I need other people's help in order to achieve my goals.
Yeah.
It's great in that I really don't have a problem with authority. I like love being told what to do, but it also is bad in that like I can fall very easily for the snake juice, for the like just, you know, I've paid nutritionists money to write plans for me that I never follow. Like I really have to work on that like personal part of it because people can tell me what to do all day, but if I'm not gonna, I don't know. So that's just getting into a tangent of some stuff that I'm working on.
You can say it. If you can spend all of the money you want on things, but if you're not going to what, Kaylee? Our listeners need to hear it.
If I'm not gonna actually do the work, I wanna pay someone to fix my problems for me because I don't wanna do the hard stuff myself.
Yeah, it totally sucks. Something that I'm learning so much is that the reason that we're not showing up to the batting plate, ooh, baseball analogy, is a batting plate a thing?
I was going to say batting ring, and then I was like, no, that's way more fucking wrong. God damn it.
It's rooted in shame. Like, there's a reason why you can't, because you're scared you're going to fail. Like, I could have this conversation on loop. It's just so hard. But yeah, I'm so proud of you.
Oh, okay. So now that we said that, listen to what it listed my addictions as. rigidity in diet causes nutritional imbalances. And they gave an example. I don't like vegetables, which is like
if I could tattoo one thing on your body that would like represents you, it would be I don't like vegetables.
Rip died from never eating. Like, I still have to like put broccoli in my macaroni and cheese and like mix it up. Like, it's so bad. When I was little, I used to eat fucking buttered noodles only, like white foods. And it is, it's something that I'm excited to work on, but I'm a picky eater and I don't like vegetables. And this rigidity in diet, right? Like trying keto, trying paleo, trying to like really be like, okay, well, I just need to cut everything out. Working excessively. Hi. We just had our episode on burnout, right? And then caffeine and amphetamines for stamina, but also alcohol and depressants to deaden anxiety, higher susceptibility to alcoholism than many types. Like, yeah. That's me. I had pre-workout this morning and an oat milk latte and a cup of coffee. Like,
oh my God.
I'm wilding out on caffeine. And I still took a nap and like passed out for that nap. Caffeine does, anyway. Something's up with my balance of like Lexapro for depression, Wellbutrin for anxiety, and caffeine for stamina. So anyway,
that counting is our blessings.
Yeah.
We're taking things one step at a time.
Yeah. So definitely let me know if any of this stuff resonates to you. You might be a six. You might be in my six house with me. And Katie, like, I want to know more about yours and what you are and what your wing is and what that has meant for you and how you relate to that.
Okay. So I'm a type seven through and through.
What is a type seven? Remind us.
Yeah. Type seven is the enthusiast.
Okay.
Basically, in a nutshell, I love trying new things. I hate bad feelings. And my core motivator is to feel stimulated, engaged, and satisfied at all times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So when I am feeling imbalanced or out of control, let's just slap a hobby on it. Let's just go bungee jumping, man. Right?
Yeah.
Like, let's just feel good. Let's feel something. So
just trying to feel something.
Yes. Something that's not bad. Mm-hmm. Anything that's not bad. I'm not positive on my wings yet. I really flop back and forth. So the two wings are a seven with an eight, which is the opportunist. And that is more of a bold, doesn't care about what people think type for my personality. I feel that when I'm high functioning in my Enneagram type, I lean towards this way. However, the Pathfinder is the seven wing six, which would be the inverse of you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That one I resonate with the most. That one's a little bit more analytically minded, a little bit more high anxiety, a little bit more mission oriented. And I kind of see myself really operate that way when I'm not taking care of myself. So I can be a little bit more critical. So and that's like, you know, the next part. So when a type seven is not operating at their highest level, I can be critical, controlling, mm-hmm. and crave constant stimulation. And I know that so well. So really quieting my mind, and like we've been talking about on the pod, like removing all these things from my busy, busy life so that I can sit with my feelings really kind of gets me centered back into a healthier version of a type seven. But that was not my life for so long. While I was drinking and being the enthusiast, I was actually like just an asshole. Like, I was always busy. I was always hungover. I was always canceling plans. I was like always overbooking myself when I would do something bad. Oh, I am the friend that's like, if you tell me what I did last night, I will not be your friend anymore. Like, I do not want to feel guilt. I do not want to feel shame. I do not want to feel those things. So let's go on a 7-mile hike so I can just feel like I'm doing something awesome and productive today. Like, mm-hmm. that was me. I said yes to everything to avoid FOMO. My particular type is really gets trapped in the FOMO. situation, which is so funny because now that I'm not drinking, I'm like, I just want my life to be as awesome as it can be. So I don't think about what other people are doing. And that really works for me as far as addressing, you know, fear of missing out. But I was actually just burnout. When I'm not functioning well, I have really high expectations. And in turn, like, I rode the romantic relationship struggle bus for a long, long time. I was hypercritical and had unrealistic expectations. Wasn't a great look. Steve is a saint. We've been together through all of that. And even now, you know, it's easy to be critical of other people and myself. So I really just have to take a pause, you know, and remind myself that no one is perfect and no one needs to perform all the time, even though that's what my personality and just my programming keeps saying to me. Oh, and then check this out. Type 7s have the highest likelihood of addiction of all of the Enneagram types. Yeah. Specifically with stimulants and spending money. So what you're saying about like wanting a nutritionist, you know, wanting this, wanting that. I also used to do that, but less of like from a teach me aspect and more of a look at all of the things I can do aspect. You know, like 3 different gym memberships and, you know, like going out to dinner and just having no regard, because thinking about money and thinking about not spending money would mean that I'm spending too much money and that would bring up bad feelings for me. And so while I've, you know, I'm actively working on healing my money wound, I've got myself out of debt, I feel really secure financially, it's something that I will always have to keep in check. And that's why I love talking about it. If you're my friend, you know that I want to know how much debt you have. I want to know how much money you make. I want to know if you budget. I want to know all of the things, because I think that that's the only way to not live in the darkness about money. It's, for me, if we talk about money, it's the way to normalize it and to get rid of the shame around it. It's not rude. It's not gauche. It's good friends talk about finances and care about what people are doing financially.
It's just like sharing a recipe that's really good with your friends, right? Like, tell me how much you're making. Tell me what you do. Tell me how you're saving money. Like, and I think just being in that non-competitive mindset that especially folks who are socialized as women are very easy to have.
Right. Well, if they have money, that's my money. And that's not real.
It's this lack mentality where you feel like you, I would literally not watch stuff on TV. I'm still working through this of like, I have a hard time watching Broad City. I have a hard time like watching certain things where there's like female comedians or females who are successful putting themselves out there in some sort of like form of entertainment, like a podcast, because I am so jealous that they're doing what I want to be doing, but that I'm not willing to like take a risk and put myself out there. Right.
I love this conversation because you are, but it doesn't feel like you are, right? Like you have a misperception of how other people perceive you. Also, that's part of your Enneagram type description. But for me, I can't watch that stuff because I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do that.
Oh, it like inspires you to want to add a new hobby.
Yes. Or I'm like, okay, let me just put more things in this bag. And guess what, you guys, when you're doing 15 things, you can't be good at 15 things. You can only do like 2 things. Really, I should only be doing 1 thing. That's how you get good at the 1 thing. And I don't like bad feelings. So when things get hard, I just drop it. I'm like, nah, don't need to do that anymore. That's too hard for me. I don't want to try that hard. So bye. So the spending and the stimulants, which I can relate to for both, and then alcohol to stop the bad feelings, the uncomfortable feelings, and to manage anxiety, much like the type 6, Kaylee, which is just so interesting. But my type 7 is, so my biggest fear, being trapped in negativity. My biggest desire is to have fun and be content. When I'm stressed, I'm judgmental, critical of others, and focused on perfection. And when I'm at my best, I'm able to slow down and I'm less impulsive, in short.
Oh, yeah. That's what's kind of cool, too, is like at your best. And then there's like different levels. So you can be like, oh, this is an unhealthy like level based on where I would be at if I was more balanced. And so I can see these things, like, for example, for mine, I can think that others are like out to get me or don't like me or, you know, think these things about me and I'm really like disparaging and like panicky and kind of like, I don't know, feeling like not safe. I can identify those feelings and be like, oh, okay, it's something's causing me to be at like an unhealthy level because I'm experiencing these things. So then
usually it's your level of self-care and not like painting your nails, that kind of stuff. Like usually it's your nervous system
when you're running on empty.
Yeah. Are you in therapy? You know what I mean? Like all of the things.
Yeah.
So let's take a break for our sponsors, Kay. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how the Enneagram has been helping us in our sober life.
If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
Awesome. So there are, like I mentioned, tools that you can find out by learning your Enneagram type that can help you improve and be at a more healthy level of your number and knowing your personality traits and kind of what you could focus on in order to be a little bit more balanced. So Katie and I pulled up our personal growth recommendations for both of our types. And I just kind of want to hear what yours are, Katie, and if you think any of them are bullshit or there's one specifically that are resonating with you that you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this now.
Yeah, they're actually all really spot on. And they also, for any listeners that are into the human design, it's like another personality typology. My Enneagram type, it is really in alignment with my human design type. So if you don't know what that is, it means nothing to you. Don't worry about it. If it does, that's a really cool thing. The first thing is recognizing my impulsiveness and getting in the habit to observe my impulses rather than giving into them. So this applies in so many more ways than one, especially with alcohol. It's so easy to just pick up the thing that's the band-aid. And so in sobriety, the biggest thing that I've been able to like apply this to my life and what I'm learning now through meditation is really becoming the observer, not following that knee-jerk reaction and taking a moment and thinking, is that response helpful or hurtful to the situation at hand? Even just now, like we took a break and my husband like started the shower and I'm recording and I like go in there and I'm like, would you not do that? And like, really, I should have taken a second and been like, hey, we're recording and the shower was really loud. Would you mind just waiting until we're done? We'll be done in 20 minutes. But like, no, you know, I just snap, knee jerk.
I just wanted to interrupt you to say that it's been interesting to hear, or it makes sense to hear that breath work has been working so well for you, because that's what breath work is, right? Like taking a second and taking those breaths. And that's something that you've implemented recently that you felt like has really helped. So
Yeah. Well, and more than even just breath work, starting my day off with 20 minutes of silent meditation allows me to sit in suffering, hating it, observing my thoughts, and then telling them to GTFO because they're not real. Like, we all have a voice inside of our head that tells us, you know, they don't like you, or yell at them, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And being able to be the observer and see the thought and then clear the thought, it gives me more time in my day. And I don't know if I said this on the last episode, but I'm like right in the middle of this course. And one thing that Nina Camille said, who is the mentor for the course, her original meditation coach said, if you don't have 5 minutes to meditate every day, meditate for 20. If you don't have time to meditate for 20 minutes every day, meditate for an hour, because it actually gives you more time. The more we can observe before reacting, the healthier relationships are, the less cleanup work you're doing emotionally, physically. And I really, truly believe that. I'm just still at the beginning of my meditation journey, but it's something that I hope to do every single day for the rest of my life. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because I do think that just pausing and taking a breath, and, you know, that's the second part to the meditating and to creating that time and space in between your initial reaction, your initial trigger, and then your reaction, right? If I can identify the trigger and I can say, no, this is coming from something way back a long time ago, that something that's looping, some programming that I've got going on that I picked up in childhood, and I don't need it anymore, you're safe, and then respond, the better off you are. But man, that takes so much practice, and I'm going to have to go apologize to my husband after this, because I was a total dick when I walked in there and said that to him. So here we are. Another really big one for me, and to our listeners, this is something I will always be working on, is listening, learning to listen to others. I am a notorious interrupter because I am so goddamn excited to say what I want to say.
Oh, I relate to that.
Yeah, I feel really inspired by other people. And when they tell me things, I'm like, oh, wait, I've got more. And, you know, it's really easy to forget how interesting other people are and how many doors they have to open for me. And so I'm learning that. And then there's so many. The last thing that I will add is for my type, for type 7. And also, I mean, damn, can't we all relate to these things? Like, even if not just for my type, if this resonates you deeply, like, you might be a type 7, but I don't think it's exclusive for just me. You do not have to have everything and be everything in this very moment. That tempting new acquisition will most likely still be available tomorrow. And that, I feel that. I want to do it all. I want to be it all. And I think that I can and expand and be this massive presence. And I know that I can. I can, but really what allows me to expand and be more is silence and only saying yes to the things that are in alignment. And so I'm learning that. And so that feels really good. And by the way, I wouldn't be able to do any of this unless I had quit alcohol. Like even just being able to acknowledge these things and not feel attacked is like huge for the ego, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's very healing. Okay, Kaylee, so tell us about yours. Tell us.
Okay, so remember that there's nothing unusual about being anxious, since everyone is anxious, and much more often than you might think. So again, like, stepping out. So, yeah, stepping outside of yourself and realize that everyone else is having their own anxiety story the whole time is actually really helpful for me to remember. And it's been really helpful to talk about it too, because Katie will tell me stuff that she was anxious about, or she'll text me sometimes and be like, oh, sorry if I, you know, came off a certain way. And I'm like, I literally did not even have that as a concept.
And I hated myself for 2 days over,
right? Like, we're all going through it. So it's like one of my favorite stupid cheesy quotes, but it's not stupid and it's great. And it's like, be kind for like everyone you know is battling or look, I'm like, it's my favorite. I can't even say it. It's basically like, you don't know what everyone, like people are going through or what they're thinking. And so like, just be nice to people because you don't know what sort of crazy anxiety stories they're telling themselves in their head if they're like me. So learn to be more present to your anxiety, to explore it and come to terms with it, which is exactly what I don't want to do, right? I used alcohol to try and reduce that anxiety. I use a lot of things still to try and reduce that anxiety. And, you know, I've found more healthy ways to do that, like exercise and going on walks. But also, I think the reason that I've been putting off meditation for so long is the idea of like sitting with those uncomfortable feelings and exploring that and really like living in that is something that's really scary to me. It took me a while to crawl out of my depression hole. And so now that I have anxiety, or I don't know, just sitting in bad thoughts, I'm really worried that I'm going to get into like a headspace where I go into like a depressive episode and I'm like not feeling like myself for months at a time. But I'm also like have way more tools and I'm, you know, medicated and going to therapy and sober. So I'm going to, yeah, work on that. And then being aware of your pessimism, it causes you dark moods and negative thought patterns that you tend to project onto reality. So it's saying that like when you succumb to this self-doubt, you can become your own worst enemy and you may harm yourself more than anyone else does. And I relate to that so much. Like, I know that there is so much more that I can achieve and that these doors are just going to open so wide for me. And I'm going to have this like new bright chapter of my life if I just like stop getting in my own way, if that makes sense.
So much. I hear that.
Yeah. And then overreacting when they're under stress or feeling anxious, which I can be very dramatic, and I can compile a bunch of little tiny things into like one big horrible everyone fucking hates me moment. And yeah, work on becoming more trusting. I really have a hard time believing that my friends actually like me and aren't, you know, talking shit about me behind my back. I have a really hard time even thinking that my partner likes me, and we've been together for fucking 6 years and he lives with me and we have a dog together and things are great. You know, I have a really hard time trusting that like I am capable of being loved, and I have a really hard time receiving that love. So all of that definitely resonates with me, dog.
Yeah, man.
Great. Wow.
So, Kaylee, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
Okay. What does your type, what does it look like? So you kind of talked about it. So the types have levels of development and they're rated from healthy level 1 at their best and then healthy level 9 at their least healthy levels.
Oh, okay.
So what I want to know, what's the healthy level 1 for your type? What is the unhealthiest level for your type? And where do you put yourself right now?
That's a really good question.
Your healthy level.
Yeah.
Tell us.
I like that. And then maybe we can do a check-in in like 6 months or something and see if I'm getting more.
Yes.
Slowly more healthy. Okay. So for a type 6, the healthy level 1 at their best is become self-affirming, trusting of self and others, independent yet symbiotically interdependent, and cooperative as an equal. Belief in self leads to true courage, positive thinking, leadership, and rich self-expression. So, sounds great. I
wouldn't know.
Cool. I don't think I'm there yet, but that sounds like just my brightest, shiniest self.
And goals.
The most unhealthy level would be acting, the like unhealthiest level of that is hysterical. And seeking to escape punishment, they become self-destructive and suicidal. So holy fucking shit, was that my age 12 to 17.
Yeah.
I would cry until I felt like I couldn't breathe. Everything just felt so much. And I was always like trying to escape the punishment of my stepmother, who grounded me every single fucking weekend. And then that's when the self-harm happened. That's when the alcohol started to happen, right? So I've been at that very low before. Passive aggressive and paranoid personality disorders. Yeah. Cool. So those are kind of like the very like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Where are you now? Where would you put yourself?
Yeah. So I would say I'm reading them all to kind of try and figure out maybe a level 5. Is that rating myself too high? I do feel like sometimes it depends on the day.
Well, here's the thing. It could change the day to day. It definitely does. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Okay. So level 5 is, let's just read that one anyway, because it's kind of right in the middle. To resist having more demands made on them, they react against others passive aggressively. They become evasive, indecisive, cautious, procrastinating, and ambivalent, are highly reactive, anxious, and negative, giving contradictory mixed signals. Internal confusion makes them react unpredictably. So that's kind of like, if I'm having a mood, instead of going all the way to the like hysterical self-destructive,
right, it would take a lot to get you down there again.
Yeah, it would take me a lot to get me down there, but I can have a really hard time actually expressing how I feel, and can lean towards being passive aggressive instead, or just evasive. Indecisiveness is something I struggle with, and then cautious, failure, like fear of failure, fear of making mistakes, procrastinating, because if I don't think something's going to be good, then I don't want to do it.
Right.
And then just ambivalent. I've been feeling that way this past week. Like, I've just like, I don't know. And then, anticipating problems. I'm always trying to protect myself from whatever worst case scenario I think is happening. What about you, Katie? I'm so curious to know like what your high and low is, and then where you feel like you sit.
Okay, so level 1 for type 7 at their best. So assimilate experiences in depth, making them deeply grateful and appreciative for what they have. Become awed by the simple wonders of life, joyous and ecstatic. Intimations of spiritual reality, of the boundless goodness of life. That's my healthiest level.
Aww.
I know, it sounds like so good. I'm like, wow. Yeah. And it's just a different... not necessarily how I would think. And I like that. So anyways, so level 9, my most unhealthy level. Finally, their energy and health is completely spent, because by this time you've really gone through a lot of shit, right? You become claustrophobic and panic stricken. I 100% feel that way when I'm in an environment where I am not allowed to have good feelings. That is exactly where I go. Often give up on themselves in life, deep depression and despair, self-destructive overdoses, impulsive suicide, generally corresponds to the bipolar disorder and histrionic personality disorder. You know, when I was a kid, I lied a lot, which is really interesting. Okay. So Kaylee, you gave the level 5, which is the midway point.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you the midway point. I don't know if that's where I'm at. I think I'm a couple levels higher right now, just because I've been really focused on...
you've been doing the work.
Sourcing my, but ask my partner. And I don't know if he feels the same way. Oh my God. He's going to listen to this episode, because he does. And he's going to be like...
We love you, Steve.
That bitch.
You're the fucking best, Steve.
He is. Okay. So level 5, unable to discriminate what they really need, become hyperactive, unable to say no to themselves, throwing self into constant activity, uninhibited, doing anything and saying whatever comes to mind. Listen to this. I totally get like this, you guys. And if you're my good friend, you know I do. Storytelling, flamboyant exaggerations, witty wisecracking, performing, fear of being bored, in perpetual motion, but do too many things, many ideas, but little follow through. Which is so crazy, you guys, because that level 5 description is my biggest fears about myself. My biggest fears. Just cracks you right open. But right now, I am not functioning that way. Talk to me next week. Let's check back in.
Katie, I do want to say that when I was having trouble with my Enneagram type, I messaged someone on Instagram who has like an Enneagram focused account, was like, hey, I'm equal parts 2 and 6. I resonate with both of them. Like, how do I dial this in? And they were like, think, really look at like the core fears.
Yeah.
So if you're having a hard time, that's what's going to, you know, probably resonate with you the most.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, like we were saying, like it takes a lot of being ready to evolve,
mm-hmm.
to look at those things and claim them as your own.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're not ever going to get better unless we can say these are parts of me too. So I'm at a level 3 right now.
Ooh, girl.
Easily become accomplished achievers, generalists who do many different things well, multi-talented, practical, productive, usually prolific, cross-fertilizing areas of interest. So I'm right there, but man, it goes back and forth between a 3 and a 5, you know, just depending on what's going on, which is why I'm feeling so passionate about showing up for myself and healing my brain and, you know, doing all the things that we're doing. I'm so grateful to have this conversation with you, dude.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole reason this podcast started, is we both were just like, how do we become better?
Yeah.
And
feel better.
And feel better. And just feel better. It really, really started with the dedication to focus on my physical and mental health above all else and be a little bit more selfish. But I'm so glad
not selfish. It's selfless. Honestly,
really
taking care of yourself and showing up for you is the least we could do for society, is taking care of our individual needs and not adding to the noise and the bullshit and everything else that we can turn off. We don't have to participate in it. We don't have to play into it. We can just take care of ourselves, slow down time, slow down our responses, and fucking show up authentically and love each other. Like, that's the most selfless thing we can do.
That's so well said, Katie. And I'm a better partner. I'm a better worker. I'm a better everything when I am feeling good about myself. Right? Like, you're way less likely to road rage or, you know, get pissed off in the line for coffee or snap at your partner,
man.
Or whatever.
Yes.
Like, when you are feeling good. Like, and I want that for everyone. And hopefully this helped a little bit. So
this episode is such an experiment too. So our apologies if we seem a little bit all over the place, but we're really excited to bring something new to the pod. So if you like it, let us know.
Yeah, this is just one tool you can have in your toolkit. They're all going to work better or worse for people depending on what works for you. But what do we want to leave people with, Katie? If people actually fucking liked this episode, which hopefully they did.
And if they didn't, fuck you. I've said it before.
I know. Yeah.
I don't actually ever mean that.
I love it.
Okay, so if you enjoyed this episode, first things first. Well, besides like leaving us a review and like commenting on all of our stuff and sharing it with all of your friends, check out the EnneagramInstitute.com, mm-hmm. and read about the Enneagram types and take the test and then tell us what you are. And then I have a plethora of Instagram pages to follow because they have cute graphics and like all of the info. There's like so much information on how different types are compatible, how to handle friends and partners with this Enneagram type and yours, what you can do to, you know, operate on that healthier level. It just kind of gives a full breakdown. What about you, Kaylee? What do you recommend?
I can definitely second the Enneagram Institute. I think it's really in depth and mm-hmm. explains a lot. So it's a really good place to get started. And then there's also therapists and folks that use the Enneagram in their specific practice. So maybe find a community. If it's something that's resonating with you, find a community online yeah, we definitely have some resources there, or look into, or ask your current therapist, you know, like, hey, have you heard of the Enneagram? I found out, I took the test. It looks like I'm showing up with this number that's resonating for me. And talk to your therapist about it, because they might be able to be like, yeah, totally. Here's some other resources.
So many therapists use the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually how one of the ways that I learned about it. It's the second way I learned about it. And then I stopped seeing that therapist, which, looking back, 2020 me, you shouldn't have done that, Katie. You really needed to be in therapy. But alcohol was telling you something different. So
yeah, that was the first thing that had to go.
But I will put the handles of mine and Kaylee's favorite Enneagram Instagram accounts in the copy when we release this episode. And yeah, let us know what Enneagram type you are.
Sounds good. All right, Katie, thank you so much for talking today, yes. Tonight.
I love you.
I love you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.